Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Yeah, see, it's tricky. Sometimes we throw an alleluia in, sometimes we don't. It will be written in your bulletins, which we do. If it is not marked, because I may just feel inclined to say it at some point, feel free to throw in the alleluia at the end. Welcome to worship. My name is Melinda. I serve as a member of this community and as pastor. This is Miranda, who's my assisting minister and has served here previously as well and is currently in seminary. So it's a joy to have a ringer with me this morning on Easter. Two things that you need, your red hymn book, and then you also need your bulletin. So those two things can be found out on the table and the bookshelf next to it, and you're invited to participate as you feel comfortable. One note, as I was moving hymns around in the service, one of the hymns didn't get changed. I will announce it again, but the hymn after the sermon is actually 377. 364 is the one we'll be singing at the end of the service, just so you are ready for that. All right, are we ready to do this? Happy Easter, y'all. I invite you to please stand as you feel able. Rejoice, heavenly powers, sing choirs of angels, exalt all creation around God's throne. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Rejoice, O Mother Church, exalt in glory. The risen Savior shines upon you. Let this place resound with joy, echoing the mighty song of all God's people. For Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Sisters and brothers in Christ, on this most holy day when our Savior Jesus Christ passed from death to life, we gather with the church throughout the world in celebration and prayer.
With songs of praise, words of hope, bread and wine, we proclaim Christ's death and resurrection, share Christ's triumph over sin and the powers of darkness, and await Christ's coming again in glory.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
We join in singing our opening hymn, and again, just please note the verses marked that we will be singing together, verses 1, 2, and 4.
Is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And
and also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you gave your only Son to suffer death on the cross for our redemption, and by his glorious resurrection, you delivered us from the power of death. Make us die every day to sin that we might live with him forever in the joy of the resurrection. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated as we now hear from our Holy Scriptures.
Our first reading is from Acts chapter 10. Peter began to speak to the people. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear. Not to all the people, but to us, who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God. I invite you to please stand for the gospel. This is the Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter. On the first day of the week at early dawn, the women came to the tomb taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two angels in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the angels said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told this to the disciples. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe the women. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he went home amazed at what had happened. This is the Holy Gospel. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. These words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. I mean, they were just women. And they were distraught with grief. I mean, their experience couldn't be trusted. I mean, besides, when you're dead, right? Jesus alive? Not possible. The women arrived to share this news, and the disciples were faced with a choice. They could believe the women, The men could decide that the women were trustworthy. The men would then have to give themselves over to the women's witness, to their word, and trust their experience, and to believe the unbelievable. Is that a risk that they were willing to take? Now, please hear me. This line of thinking, the way it can resonate in today's context, is not lost on me. Women's voices have been second-guessed and ignored so often, it's painful to take it in. We have decided not to trust their witness, not to believe what we have decided is unbelievable. We have refused to give ourselves over to their way of seeing the world. For whatever reason, it's a risk we've refused to take. And we have done this with so many other groups of people as well. Refusing to believe the experience of people of color. Refusing to believe the experience of queer folk. Refusing to believe the experience of those who live in poverty. Refusing to believe the experience of white working class men. Refusing to believe the experience of children. Refusing to believe the mystical experiences of the religious. We do this again and again. We label people's witness as foolish, off base, and flatly untrue. We have refused to give ourselves over to their way of seeing the world because we've decided the risk is not worth it. I sometimes wonder why it was women who were first to the tomb. Yes, it was their work, women's work, to care for the dead. It would have been women who would have been anointing the body with oil for 3 days following the death of a loved one. I get that part. But the guys could have gone down there first. I mean, remember, Jesus had said several times, I will be crucified, I will be put to death, and I will rise again, right? I mean, this is something that he had been trying to explain to the disciples. But it was the women who went to the tomb. I mean, you think women's voices aren't honored today? In Jesus' day, it was way worse. So why would it be women to be the first ones to arrive? Biblical scholars have said that this small detail, that the women were the first, makes this story all the more believable. Because let's face it, if you were to write up a fictional story about resurrection, you would get men there to be the first witnesses because they are way more trustworthy. But instead, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and all the other women with them who were at the tomb. Are we to believe their story? There's something stirring in this for me this Easter. I mean, yes, I have preached over and over again that resurrection breaks the power of death, and I believe that. That in resurrection, God is saying, throw your worst at me, and I can still transform it. I believe that. In the resurrection, Jesus' love is saying, let me take on the weight of your misery, and I can dispel it, and I believe that. The Holy Spirit in the resurrection is moving and stirring and pricking us with this crazy idea of hope. But there's something about this story this Easter that is stirring within me that provokes me to think that, like the disciples, we are faced with a choice. We can choose to believe the women. We can give ourselves over to their witness, to their word, trust their experience, and believe the unbelievable. But will we take that risk? And I never thought about it until this Easter season for some reason, but there is something there that is at the heart of Christian faith for me and how I believe God is inviting us to orient our lives to the world in general.
I believe that this need for risk is at the heart of our human capacity for the fullness of life. That in our ability to trust the story, this teaches us a rhythm that will breathe life into our own story. Because as you all know, the world teaches us to be cynics and skeptics. We have all known the pain of opening our hearts and having our feelings dashed. I mean, you can't get through adolescence without people taking advantage of our trusting natures. The world teaches us to protect, to defend, and to question at every turn. But the resurrection invites us to take risks, like to hope, to believe, to trust in the unbelievable. And this resurrection is not a one-time action in the past. I believe that resurrection is an essential rhythm for the actions of the present. I believe that those first witnesses were women because believing them and their story is an essential learning for us. See, you and me, we choose to live in these protective tombs. We furnish them with excuses. We decorate the walls with insecurity, and then we seal them off closed tight with stones of fear. And as Jesus stood at the tomb of his dead friend Lazarus and shouted, as he shouts to all, "Come out! Come out!" It is time for our lives to be oriented by believing, to furnish them with trust, decorate them with hope. You want to know the fullness of life? We all know this. It means you need to start taking risks. And when I say taking risks, I don't just mean scaling a mountain or leaving everything behind to come to a retreat center. Anyone can do that. We are called to take serious risks. And we do this by listening to and taking seriously the witness of those around us. On this resurrection morning, we are called to bear witness to the experiences of others and to trust their witness. Even make way for the unbelievable in these stories, because then we will find new pathways for hope. It is a rhythm that we must learn, a rhythm of risk and trust, a rhythm of hope and new life. Amen. Again, this hymn is 377, and the verses are as marked, 1, 3, and 4.
on this most holy day, let us pray to God for the church, the earth, and all in need, that the whole world may know the resurrection that God promises to give. O God of life, pour the life of your Son's resurrection into communities everywhere who seek to live out your gospel. Make visible the unity we have in you and show us our strength, found both within our community and in others. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Give to the lands and seas the life of your continuing creation. Melt the snows of winter, water the flowers of springtime, and nurture the growing season to come. Bless all who protect your plants and animals. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Grant to all nations your life of peace. Keep us from war. Lead us into justice. Turn enemies into friends, especially those situations we name silently before you now. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Visit the needy with your compassionate life. Feed the hungry, nurse the sick, protect the weak, comfort the sorrowful, attend the dying, especially those we name silently before you now. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Raise up this assembly with the life of your Spirit. Reveal in our community the signs of Christ's resurrection. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
O God of life, we praise you for the faithful who have met you in death. Bring us all through death into the life of your resurrection. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
O God, we praise your life. We bless your mercy. We honor your power. Transform all that is dying with the joy of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Blessed are you, O God. You are the fullness of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, Give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen. I invite you, as you feel comfortable, to please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to Almighty God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and all the women, with Peter and all the other witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn. Holy God, mighty and powerful, you bring forth life out of darkness and death. You loved the world that you gave your only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. We give you thanks for his coming into the world to fulfill for us your holy will and to accomplish all things for the whole world's salvation. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember your Son, the firstborn of your new creation. We remember his life lived for others and his death and resurrection, which renews the face of the earth. God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast, grace our table with your presence, and here's where you all come in, for Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us and send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love. For Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And we close with singing, "Christ is risen, Alleluia," the refrain again. Christ is risen. With your holy ones of all times and places, with fullness of creation, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Loving Jesus, we ask that you remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our God in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Please know that this table is Christ's table, and it is he, the risen Christ, who invites you to come. You may be seated, and I'll give you a little bit more information. Our desire is that there be no barriers between you and this table. So one of the things that we look for is also dietary needs. So we do have a gluten-free option. That will be the first person. They have a small black container with gluten-free wafers. Then I will have bread, and we'll tear off a piece for you if that is your choice. Then Miranda will be holding the common cup. You can take that piece of bread and intinct it or dip it in the cup, or you can actually take the vessel and and drink from it directly if you so choose. Otherwise, the next person will have a basket full of cups, and then there will be a pitcher of wine and then a pitcher of juice. So whatever your choices are, and then finally an empty basket. Again, know that this feast is for all in this place, and we invite you to come as you feel comfortable. If you don't want to take communion, but you would still love to come for a blessing, you can just kind of come up and either keep your hands down or cross them over your chest, and I'll know to give you a blessing. Happy Easter. All is prepared. Ever since I set my hair on fire on the pulpit, it has been our tradition to move it for communion, so my apologies. It just looked really good. The body of Christ given for you. I honestly just did that unconsciously. It just looked really good. Wow. Okay. The body of Christ given for you. It looked really good. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen.
Amen. Again, as you feel comfortable, you're invited to stand for our closing hymn. It's hymn number 364. And again, note the verses marked 1, 3, and 5. The blessing of our Creator, the blessing of the risen Christ, the blessing of the Holy Spirit of truth be among you and remain with you always. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Go in peace. Share the good news. Alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Alleluia.